Joy is an uncontrolled hope in the God who is. Joy delights in God and his ways and can be present no matter the circumstances. This all sounds very appealing, but how do we cultivate this heart of joy? Today we are talking about joy, the struggles that are real, and a few examples that will help us understand it all a little better. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Welcome to the She Proves Faithful podcast, episode number 42, Truth and Encouragement to Live Gospel-Centered Lives Every Day. I'm your host, Lauren Lushak. Hey ladies, thank you so much for joining me today on episode 42 of the She Proves Faithful podcast. I love receiving your emails and your encouraging messages on Instagram, so thank you so much, and thank you for being patient with me in getting back to you in untimely manners. I really do read all of them and it means so much to me. I sometimes cannot get that moment to respond thoughtfully. So I appreciate the patience and you're always welcome to email me, Lauren at She Proves Faithful, or find me on Instagram at She Proves Faithful. I want you to know that I did not record a podcast last week because I was a guest on the Mom Struggling Well podcast, episode 89 with Emily. It was so fun to record and get to talk with her. And I wanted to direct you guys to that podcast so you could listen to it. You can hear a little bit more of my story. It's always fun to talk with someone. You get the giggles. It's just so fun to get to know each other. So it's a really fun interview. I'll link to it in the show notes, which of course you can find at sheproofsfaithful.com/podcast/episode42. And I talk all about how God's word has really blessed me in my life. Psalm 19 talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And it truly has done that so many times in my life, including when my house burned down, including through open heart surgery, and even with having children and beyond. So I really encourage you to check out that episode. But here we are this week. So we are going to move on to joy and cultivating joy. I'm so excited. But first, I want to tell you what I was doing last week. I was on the wide open road with my family in our little car driving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota for my brother-in-law's marriage. My husband got to marry his little brother and his new wife, Kate. Welcome, Kate, to the family. We just love you so much already. So my daughter was a flower girl and my son was a ring bearer. So cute. That's a highlight, seeing a one-year-old in suspenders and a bow tie. That just, man, I was like, you're going to wear suspenders every day because that is adorable. And then also, another highlight, my daughter at the reception. She's so cute, guys. I love her. She's wearing her little sparkly sequins dress and the music's bumping and she's out there. She sees other people, you know how she's seeing these guys dance with these women, you know, kind of the slow dance position where a hand is behind the waist and another hand's up on the shoulder. So she's watching people do that. So she's there by herself, holding out her hands like she's dancing with an invisible man. And it's adorable, but also you're like really sad because here's this four-year-old little princess by herself on the dance floor. But every time somebody went out there to dance with her, she totally rejected them. Like my sister-in-law went out there and she said, "Can I dance with you, Riv?" And she said, "No, I'm a horse." Oh my gosh. Oh, she gives me the giggles. Okay. So at that point, she's a horse dancing and she didn't want a partner. And then my father-in-law went out there and at that point she was a wolf, and Andy, my husband, went out there. She just was all sorts of animals dancing and had no interest in a dance partner. So it's total highlight. Have it on video. Can't wait to watch that a million times until she's, you know, 42 with her own children. And of course, driving from Colorado to Sioux Falls, gorgeous. We drove through the backwoods of Nebraska, basically had zero cell phone coverage and saw zero people, pretty much. And I will tell you, 10-hour road trip, first 9 hours, fine. Last hour was torture. And if there was a hotel between that hour and our destination, I would have said, we're stopping now. But there was literally just fields. It was the Lord saying, persevere, Lauren. And we did. We made it. And then we drove back the other way and stopped at Mount Rushmore, got some history on the American flags. So neat. I love that. And I actually really encourage you guys to pursue history from a God-centered worldview. I'm going to throw this out. This is not political, I promise. I just, as a sister in Christ, I want to encourage you how you are educating yourself with history and our children too, because there is a man-centered worldview and a God-centered worldview, and history is included in that. History has a worldview. It either points to man being glorified in the center of it all and the reason for everything and humanistic, or we point to God and the God who is advancing his name and his gospel through all generations until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we read history, we need to be careful that we're reading it from a God-centered worldview and find authors in historical books that honor the Lord. And so I just really was encouraged and reminded that after visiting Mount Rushmore and hearing some facts that I think are a little jaded. But it was just an encouraging time. Mount Rushmore is gorgeous, by the way, and that whole area, the Black Hills area, highly recommend it. A little vacation. That was really fun. Which leads me to some life hacks. I know I haven't done these in a while because I talk too much on my episodes, but I had to tell you, I have some travel tips. If you're ever on a road trip, I have 3 travel tips. The first one is do not buy bulk snacks at Costco or Sam's or wherever your grocery store is. No, no, no. Because no kid wants a 20th fig bar after 9 hours in the car, okay? My son still refuses to eat fig bars. I had one today. We were in desperate need for food, found one in the backpack, and he screamed when he saw it. He's like, not the fig bar. And I think I have about 15 of them left. I'm like, I have to either give these away or freeze them for another year because nobody wants a fig bar. So if you have a long road trip, variety is key. Get single packs of things that are really fun. You know, your grocery store has that whole granola bar aisle where every granola bar is like $1.50. Do it. Just surprise everybody in the car with delicious varieties because that's the key. That's what I learned. I'm like, nobody wants anything in my snack bag because it's repeats of 5 things. So we had to stop and gas station it up for snacks. My second tip is if you are traveling with friends or you're meeting family in a place, go to a hotel with suites that you can share. And this was so fun. And it just depends on how big your families are. You can't always do this, but it was so cost effective for us to split a hotel room at, I think it was like a Residence Inn Marriott, and it had 2 rooms and then a center kind of little area with a kitchen and a dining room and a TV couch fireplace thing. But it was so nice because the kids could nap and you could be adults. You didn't have to sit in the hallway of your hotel or sit in the dark and look at Instagram on your phone or try to take a nap while your kids napped. It was awesome. So, and it was half the cost because we split the room and it was way more cost effective than even buying our own single hotel room. So look for suites and deals in that way. And my third little travel life hack is Hoopla, Hoopla. It is a library app that you can download on your phone for free and you can connect it with your library card. Now, I don't think it works for all libraries. Your library has to be in the system, but I guarantee, well, I don't guarantee because I don't know, but most likely your library has some kind of connection with a digital app that you can get free resources and books, audiobooks, movies on your phone or tablet. And so this was so great because they have audiobooks for kids. River and I listen to Paddington Bear every night before bed, 5 minutes of it. It's so fun. It's free and you can check out 8 items a month on Hoopla. I'll link to it in the show notes. I love it. And we even rented the new Paddington Bear movie. And then my husband was listening to an audiobook about the history of something, I don't know, war, guns, something masculine. And it was awesome. It was free. And you can get them downloaded on your phone so that you can listen to them even if you have no service, which is quite necessary if you're in Nebraska. No offense to Nebraskans, just there are some parts of that state that are very not hooked to cellular services. So those are my life hacks. I hope you enjoy them. Okay, so we're going to dive into the topic of joy today. And this podcast episode was inspired by my friend Isabella, who was a guest on my show on episode 33. She talked about biblical counseling and is a wealth of knowledge and encouragement when we're talking about deep discipleship in matters of pain and sin and restoration and how we can all be counselors to one another with the Word of God. So I encourage you to check out that episode number 33. But Isabella, we invited her to speak at our Women's Training Day at our church. Basically, we hold these quarterly events for women at our church to encourage one another to learn from the Word of God. And we invited Isabella to come speak on cultivating a heart of joy. And of course, no one was disappointed. We were all humbled and encouraged. And I really wanted to share some insights that I learned about cultivating a heart of joy with you today. First of all, I love the definition that Isabella gave. She talked about how joy is an uncontrollable hope. Hope that is rooted in our eternal salvation in Christ. Like Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have this secure, permanent relationship with the Lord. Our sins have been forgiven. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can snatch us from His hand. John 10:28-29 says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We truly have eternal joy through Jesus Christ. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means as believers, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of joy in our lives as we abide in Christ. That abiding is to live, to continue, to remain in Christ. It's to live in Him, to obey His commands. John chapter 15 is all about abiding in Christ. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Abiding in Christ is a source, the source of joy. So let's consider, what do joyful people look like? What do joyful Christians do? Here's a short list. There are so many things, but they share the gospel. Joyful people know they have been saved. They have the joy of the Lord, and therefore they want other people to have that fullness of joy, the eternal, secure salvation. They go and make disciples of all nations, like Matthew 28 says. Joyful people have fellowship with one another and with God. It talks about in 1 John that if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's a classic example that if we are joyful, if we know the joy of Christ, if He is the origin of our joy, then we want to share that. We want to be in community with other people because God has designed us to be a body. I don't know, before in another episode I talked about, you don't want to be the eyeball. Just by itself, because an eyeball walking down the street or rolling down the street would be weird. God created us to be in a body, to be working together. So as we have joy, we fellowship with one another. We fellowship with God. We pray to Him. We praise Him. Joyful people delight in the things that God delights in. We look for what brings God joy in His Word, and we delight in those same things. We don't want to sit there and delight in sin. I mean, I remember, especially as a high schooler and before Christ, I would delight in the things that the world delighted in. I would pride myself on basically social norms, worldly social norms that I engaged in. If it was drinking, if it was dating, if it was doing things with boys that were not glorifying to the Lord, I would be proud of those things because it gave me credit to my friends and rose my social status. But those things are so temporary, and God does not delight in those things because ultimately we know that sin destroys, that we run away from God when we delight in the things that the world delights in. We know that Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of the world for a temporary amount of time, but he chose to seek the Lord. Sometimes that's hard, But that's where true joy is, and joyful people delight in those things that God delights in. Joyful people are thankful. Man, this is hard for me because I get the grumps and I start complaining about things when really I should be joyful. And I remember, man, you always see the depths of the ugliness of my heart. But I remember one time I was a bridesmaid in this wedding of a longtime friend, and she was so generous. She made these huge gift baskets with all these cutesy little items, like toiletry items, shampoos and travel size this. It was really cute, like kind of just a little gift basket. And I remember I got Q-tips, and I was complaining to my best friend at the time. I'm like, who gives people Q-tips for a gift? Like, that's weird. And coming out of my mouth directly, complaining that about something somebody bought for me, they were thinking of me, they were being generous, and here I was complaining instead of being thankful. And my best friend turned to me and she goes, Lauren, she bought those for you and she really cared about you. I love her. She's going to be a guest on the show. Her name's Nikki. I can't wait for you to meet her because half my stories involve her, because she was there at just the right time in the beginning journey of my walk with the Lord. So she gets all the good stuff. Anyway. So I was just confronted right there with the ugliness of my heart, and that it robs our hearts of joy when we complain about things and instead of having a thankful heart. And so a thankful heart looks at those gifts, even if we think they're ridiculous, and looks at the intent of the person and is thankful. A joyful person is thankful. A joyful person serves. Whether that be, I mean, hopefully it's in your church. Hopefully you're serving your brothers and sisters in Christ and serving in your church to help the gospel advance in your city. Man, there are so many things that are amazing, and that is just really up there, to be a part of a community that wants to see Jesus Christ known so that people can be free from sin and free from the bondage that crushes them, that tears them apart inside, so that they may no longer be captives and prisoners of darkness and doom and dread, but may be free. And we can be a part of that together, be on mission together. So we serve, and we serve our husbands, and we serve our children in teaching them the gospel and loving them and nurturing them and even providing them a variety of snacks on road trips. I mean, we just can serve in so many ways, and we do it. Joyful people, you will see, have a heart of service. Joyful people also sing and worship the Lord. They make melody and music in their heart to the Lord. They sing songs that glorify God and teach others doctrine of truth. I love the verses in Colossians and I think Ephesians that talk about singing to one another and making melody in our hearts with one another. That's talking about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because those teach us about God. And what better way to start cultivating a heart of joy than knowing who God is through music? And funny story, my son, I don't know if he's a huge fan of my singing, because when I start to sing at night, putting him to bed, he always cries. But I really think he knows, because it's signaling he's got to go to bed. So we're working on that part. Joyful people sing. Now, this is all great and well, but there's a problem in that it's real life. And as much as I want to be this joyful person who is continually singing and praising God and serving with just a full, glad heart and just delighting in everything that God delights in, there is real life and there are real struggles. Those struggles are real. And there's a host of them. And at the women's training day, Isabella covered a few of them, and I just wanted to address some of them with us and then look at a few examples and the word to encourage us when things are difficult. The first struggle is complacency, which I feel like I dealt with today. And even after, you know, this long trip, I'm so tired, and I was sitting in the middle of my living room with about 4 tons of dirty/clean/questionable clothes in suitcases, trying to sort them out, and just probably should wash everything, right? And I looked at my husband, he walked in, I was like, I can't do life today. It's just, not happening. And maybe complacency wasn't, I was in a total place, but you feel that. Your joy is gone because you just feel eh. You have no passion or zeal, and mostly you just feel indifferent about life. You're not motivated. We just want to get by. You know, no highs, lows, we'll just make it through. Like, make it to Friday. Just do what you got to do. Well, in Revelation 3, 1 through 3, this is the Church of Sardis. It says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. Sometimes we have works. We're just going through the motions. We're like, here it is. But really, we're dead inside. God gives us the solution here to wake up, repent. Repentance is such a sweet gift from God that we would turn away from where we're going, no matter how hard it is, and even if it goes against the grain, we just got to stop sometimes. And sometimes that's all we can do is literally confess it with our mouths and pray that the Lord would change our hearts, and we can do that. We need to remember what God has done when we're complacent and find joy in that. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 103. Read it when you're complacent. Read it when you're just having a hard day. It is so encouraging because it talks about forget not all God's benefits. And it just will blow your mind what God has done for us. And pray that it motivates your heart, that we would really come to an excitement for what God has done and who He is. Another joy stealer and a struggle with joy is when we fear man instead of fearing God. And I talked about this in the last episode, 41, about the fear of man a little bit and the fear of God. So I'm not going to go into great detail, but when we are striving for the glory of man for approval, or we're comparing ourselves, totally steals our joy. Two great examples from the Word of God, Mary and Martha, when Martha's like, don't you care that my sister is not helping me? Ooh, Martha had no joy there. I mean, just from the scripture, it sounded like she was irritated, agitated, and very frustrated. And I get it. As a hostess, I get that. But we can't compare ourselves with others because we rob ourselves of what God has given us, the joy of preparing and the joy of hosting for the glory of God rather than for the glory of man. Or even when Jesus is talking to Peter at the very end before his ascension, he's like, feed my sheep, do you love me, all this stuff. And he looks back, he goes, well, what about him? You know, and he looks at John, he's like, psh, who? What if he remains until I come back? Like that, what is that to you? You know, you follow me. And so we can take our eyes and it can steal our joy when we start looking at other people and comparing ourselves or looking for their approval much more than the Lord. I mean, look at 2 Samuel. When the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, David danced before the Lord, but his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. He had disrobed his royal robes. His identity as king came off, and she despised that. She feared man. She wanted the approval of man, and she was more concerned about the appearance than David glorifying the Lord. And the solution to this is to fear the Lord over than fearing man. Again, episode 41 talks about the fear of the Lord, how to cultivate that. Check it out. Another struggle that we have is pain, whether it be physical pain or emotional pain. Pain can give us such a temporary focus. And because I don't have a lot of time, I can't dive into this. So I don't want this to sound trite. Pain is real. Pain is hard. If you've been a victim, if you've been hurt physically, emotionally, if you have a disease, I have congenital heart disease. This is something that I'll have for my whole life. I will have multiple open heart surgeries, you know, until the Lord takes me, my heart has to be monitored. It's hard. And we walk through this, but the struggle with this, where it starts to steal our joy is that we focus so much on the here and now, the temporary, and we want relief so bad. And it can steal our joy because God gives us these trials to have, eternal focus, but also eternal joy to be more excited about what is to come, and then eternal healing, eternal time with Him forever, and to magnify the Lord. This isn't saying we can't talk about our hurts, our pain, our physical, emotional pain. It's not saying we have to sweep them under the rug or they're not trials, but to know what trials produce, we need to read James and be thankful, and then also know that this isn't about not acknowledging those things, but it's about magnifying the Lord in these trials, to have eternal focus in these things, so that we don't fear, so that we don't wallow, so that we don't dread, so that we are free to have joy even in these moments. And we can look at Jesus, who showed us about suffering. I mean, Luke 22, 41 through 44, he talks about he withdrew. He knelt down and prayed. This is in the garden right before his crucifixion. He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus showed us this was a trial that he would trade. He did not want to endure, but he would submit his life to the Father. And in Romans, it talks about for the joy set before him, or maybe it's Hebrews 12, I believe. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One, he looked beyond the temporary to the eternal. He focused on glorifying the Lord. He focused on what was bigger than that moment of pain, and knew he would submit his life to the Lord and follow God for his glory, for his love of the Father. And he prayed. So when we have these moments, or maybe your whole life will be this moment, I think of Jeremiah or Job. But Jeremiah, I mean, he didn't even have the Job, like after everything, the blessings. I mean, he had a really hard life and still followed the Lord for the glory of God and for the hope of salvation for mankind. It's just always fun to read about those people, right? You're like, oh Lord, please don't let me be Jeremiah. All right, another joy stealer is anger or bitterness. Psalm 37:8 says, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil." There is nothing like being bitter at someone and just having all the joy sucked away from you. Somebody once described bitterness or unforgiveness like an anchor that goes from our heart and hooks into the other person. So no matter what they do, I mean, your eyes are on them like a hawk. And if they are blessed, then you are angry. If they are having a hard time, then that makes you happy. And they determine the condition of your heart. And man, That needs to go. We need to repent from those moments of holding on to things that need to be forgiven and need to be given to the Lord. We need to look at our own condition of sinfulness and how God has forgiven us and be released to delight in God and be revived by His word. We have so much victory in Christ, and I really believe that when we struggle with having joy, we can turn to His word. We can forget not all His benefits, like in Psalm 103. We can look at how Jesus endured earthly trials. Even in Hebrews, it talks about how He was heard because of His reverent submission, that Jesus suffered much. And we can look at how He kept His eyes on God, that God gave Him strength, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Even in Nehemiah, I think 8, talks about Nehemiah addresses these people who are rebuilding the wall of their city that has fallen, and these enemies of God are making it impossible, and they're threatening them, and they're just being nasty people, and you're scared. You're like, we're defenseless here. When we were exiles, and we're finally getting to go home, and we're trying to rebuild our safety, and people are just wanting to kill us still. And so they had to build with one hand and have a sword in the other, just ready to fight. And Nehemiah talked about, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. God's joy, the fruit of the Spirit of joy, does give us strength. And it is something that can be a great comfort to us. Now, at the Women's Training Day, we studied two scripture passages at the end for personal study, and I really encourage you to do the same. The first was the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and you probably are all well aware of the story about this woman who has five husbands, is living with a man that's not her husband. She comes to the well at an unusual time of day where people aren't really there to draw water out. Jesus talks to her, and it's strange because Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Jesus is also a man associating with this woman who has kind of a reputation, and he promises living water. He asks for water, and then he talks about, if you knew the water I could give you, you would ask for it. You would ask for this living water. And I was struck by this, her response, because we're looking at some struggles to joy. And one of my struggles to cultivating a heart of joy is that I want hard things to be over fast. The solution to my joy is that something that's difficult ends quickly or there's an end in sight. And here this woman, she said, yes, I want this water. Give this to me. And what I realized is this woman didn't understand what living water was. She didn't understand that it was talking about salvation, not so she wouldn't have to come back out to the well to draw water, so that she wouldn't have to live out her shame, or she could go and keep living her life. This was eternal life. This is living water that would well up in her and cause this unceasing joy, even in the midst of any trial that she would endure, even in the midst of leaving a sinful lifestyle and enduring the looks and stares of people. And I'm the same way, as I want temporary relief. So my joy sometimes is related to how fast God gives me relief from a situation. And so often we can miss the point of living water. We want the temporary water. We don't want to come to the well. We don't want to keep coming to the source. Just give us this living water, and then we can be done with it. When really the solution is an eternal perspective, is salvation and having joy in that, knowing that our time on earth is but a mist, so that we can look forward to the future, that we are excited about eternity with Christ, and we're thankful and we know the true purpose, rather than just trying to get through or endure something fast or quickly. And I also love the Samaritan woman who's an example of what joyful people do, is share the gospel. She goes back and she's saying, come meet the man who told me everything I ever did. And these people come because they're interested. They're like, okay, let me see. And they come out there, and it says they came and heard Christ because of the woman's invitation. She didn't work herself up, you know, like what if they don't believe me? She wasn't scared of what people thought of her. She knew that she met the Christ. And they eventually believed, not because of what she said, but because they experienced Christ themselves. And so her joy of meeting Jesus transferred to the people of her town, who also became believers. She wasn't worried about what they thought of her, of her past, of her present. She submitted that to the Lord, and she was so excited. And these people came to know the Lord. Another example about cultivating joy is Paul in Philippians 4. And you know, he was in prison. This guy has a rap sheet of terrible things that happened to him, and he counts it all joy for Jesus. But in verse 10, he talks about how he's been brought low. He's abounded. He's has plenty. He's lived in hunger. He's lived in want and abundance and need. And what he says, I have learned I am to be content. And I love this for two reasons, because one, he says, I've learned. We're not born knowing contentment. We're not born knowing how to cultivate this joy, that it's a learned thing. And Paul learned it through the ups and downs of life. And it says, I am to be content. It makes me think of Psalm 23, where the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every day really is a working out of our knowledge of who God is, and that we are to be content with what he's provided, with who he is, with what he's given us, and ultimately because he's God and he's given us salvation. It was really encouraging that Paul learned contentment, because through this all, Jesus was there to give him strength to endure it all. Praise the Lord. And that's the same thing for us. So I want to end this with, what are some of your struggles with joy? What are roadblocks to your joy? And when you have this struggle, what's a truth in God's word that can help you overcome it? I have so many. I mean, one of them is feeling like my joy is related to my accomplishments, you know, like, oh, if I didn't do enough on my to-do list, then it kind of robs me of joy at the last minute. Like, oh, my day was okay. Cause like I only got 5 things done when I really wanted to get 25 things done. So yeah, I feel worthless. And my joy shouldn't be tied to that. That's a joy stealer. That's a struggle. And so I need to find truth in that Christ is my identity and learn to rest in what God has done for me and not my own accomplishments. So that's one example. Just, you're welcome for that. So I really encourage you to think through that. What is something that robs your joy, something that you struggle with, and what's the answer from God's word? Well, I hope today has been encouraging to you, knowing that Jesus is a source of joy, that we cultivate joy through abiding in him, and that even though there are struggles with having joy, and there are going to be some real low days and maybe months, maybe even years, learning to turn to the word, knowing that God gives us help from his word. He gives us answers and encouragement, and we learn how to live in the ups and downs of life through Christ's strength and through the knowledge of him and his word. I love Romans 15:4 that says, "For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through the endurance and through the encouragement from the scriptures." We really do have hope, and we have endurance and encouragement from the word of God. So I encourage you to turn there. Speaking of the word of God, it is about to be the beginning of the month, June, in fact, and I'm releasing my June reading plan. You can join at sheproofsfaithful.com/Bible. This is a free monthly reading plan. You get an email in your inbox that has a reading for every day. This month, we're going to go through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, which is an amazing point of history. Speaking of history from a biblical worldview, great books that show God's faithfulness to his people. The Persian Empire has overtaken the Babylonians, who had exiled the Jews. And so now God is allowing them to be restored and rebuilt for the hope of Christ. It's amazing how he uses kings that don't fear him and for his name, to advance his purposes. So I invite you to join that. That's free. There's also a verse printout that you can get. So join us in reading that this month. Remember to check out the show notes at sheproofsfaithful.com/podcast/episode 42. And may you prove faithful in all the Lord has given you to do.